This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on role of Open Network for Digital Commerce in empowering small businesses and revolutionizing e-commerce. The participants are Shirish Joshi, Chief Business Officer, ONDC, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor.
It's a pleasure to have Shirish Joshi, Chief Business Officer, Open Network for Digital Commerce, ONDC, with us. A warm welcome, Shirish.
Thank you.
Shirish, as a digital expert, how would you describe the core vision and mission of the Open Network for Digital Commerce, and what sets ONDC apart from traditional e-commerce platforms in terms of its structure and objectives?
The objective is to basically take e-commerce at population scale. ONDC is part of what we broadly call digital public infrastructure. And as with all other digital infrastructures, Aadhaar are biometric identities at population scale. Almost everybody has one. UPI as a payment tool is a digital public infrastructure that is at population scale. So the goal for e-commerce through ONDC also is that anybody who wishes to buy a product or service should be able to do it on this network. And any product or service that is catalogable to be sold digitally should be available on the network. That's the goal for the mission for ONDC.
And how significant is ONDC's role in India's journey towards digital transformation, particularly for small businesses?
We are barely 2 years old, unlike e-commerce, which is more than a decade old. And in the few cities where we've had reasonable start and depth, we are doing now a fairly noticeable share of those respective markets. We are now clocking at about 15 million orders a month across categories. And ever since we began, we've done now more than 150 million transactions. From an India perspective, this is still a drop in the ocean, but it's significant progress given that it's a new method. You had asked what is different between the existing forms of e-commerce and ONDC. All forms of e-commerce, not just in India, but around the world, follow a platform approach, which is the buyer and seller must be present in the same application. So if you're shopping through an application, you can only see and buy from the sellers which are also registered in that application. From one application, you cannot buy from sellers who are in another application. Similarly, if you're a manufacturer or a seller and you have registered in a particular application, in that application, you can only sell to buyers who are coming into that application. You cannot sell to buyers who are in some other application. So this is the limitation of the existing platform approach. Also, because of this, invariably, one or two applications become very big and becomes very difficult for a third or fourth or fifth application to also participate. And so there is a concentration of power that takes place. ONDC is different in that ONDC has created a protocol or a method or a sequence of communication by which a buyer and a seller can be on two different applications and yet be able to transact with each other. We've done that in UPI. In UPI, two parties can use two different applications and yet be able to send money or receive money from each other. We see this kind of approach in other spheres as well. Take email, for example. Email also follows this approach. Either of the two parties can use whichever email software. But because all email follows the same protocol, from any email software, you can send an email to any other software. So this is what the difference is. And because of this, we expect there'll be much greater participation. Even parties that are currently not in e-commerce should be possible for them to become part of e-commerce.
Do you have any data or any tangible changes that you have observed in the way small businesses operate after adopting ONDC? Can you share some examples?
Yes. For example, we've had auto rickshaw drivers who have benefited by multiplying their income several fold. Some have reported 3-4 times the earnings that they were getting on the platforms. More importantly, now they get the money directly and immediately because the riders pay them immediately versus having to have a settlement subsequently. And the cost of being digital is much lower. So that's one example. We've had artisans who are part of either self-help groups or independent craftsmen who are now able to find a national level market. We have seen that in the case of a self-help group like Kudumbashree in Kerala, who make value-added food products. They've got a national level market, which they didn't have earlier. We have traditional craftsmen like the Kanjivaram silk makers of Kanjipuram. They are now getting direct orders from across the country. We have women entrepreneurs, including in rural areas. There's one particular lady who makes cooking oil for the home out of a small village near Satara. She used to be able to sell only within her district. Now she's able to get orders from cities all across the country. So there are many such stories that have demonstrated that an open network like ONDC can really bring benefits to even the smallest of sellers in the remotest corner of the country.
So Shirish, does, in your opinion, ONDC help reduce barriers to entry for businesses in rural or underserved areas? If so, how?
Yes, ONDC reduces barriers in many ways. One is the network has enabled multiple kinds of components to be present. One such component is delivery services. So now a small party in a small town does not need to have a contracted party to do all their deliveries. They can simply buy a delivery service from the network for a particular order, and it can be at an individual order level. So that's one. Second is you will be getting orders from multiple buyers coming from multiple buyer applications, which can get very complicated in terms of reconciling and accounting and settling all these payments. The seller applications from our network that are onboarding these sellers provide these services. So the complication of accounting is no longer a burden for the individual seller. So these are some of the facilities that the network is bringing. And then most importantly, the network is connecting such sellers to a very large pool of buyers, which on their own would have been very, very expensive for them to do. So these are just some of the ways in which small sellers are already benefiting from being part of the network.
Let's come to technology, Shirish. What role does technology play in enabling ONDC to function as an open digital marketplace?
Technology is needed to codify the process of purchase. Each type of product or service that we buy has a certain information exchange between the buyer and the seller. For example, if I were to buy, let's say, a pencil eraser, then that's all I write, a pencil eraser, and I get served with stationery shops that will sell that pencil eraser. I don't need to do anything more than describe the product that I'm buying. But if I'm buying a shirt for myself, then I not only describe the shirt, but I also have to let know that, okay, I'm a male, size XL, etc. So some information about me is also critical for the right selection. If I'm booking a taxi or an auto rickshaw, then I need to give my location, because only those ride providers who are in reasonable vicinity of where I am will be informed so that they can come quickly and pick me up. So each transaction or type of transaction requires a different information. So the technology that is needed is actually not so much high tech itself, but a communication protocol that can identify what is the information requirement for each type of transaction, be able to classify that information. Similarly, the product and service that is being bought, the product and service also needs to be classified and described in a way by which a buyer can understand. It's more a communication protocol and specifications.
Nowadays, a lot of players are very worried about data privacy. So how does ONDC address technical challenges like interoperability and data privacy for its users?
So the interoperability is very simple. It is based on a common protocol. Many of our systems today are interoperable. The UPI system is interoperable. You can use one UPI application to send money to another party who's using a different UPI application. Our email systems are interoperable. You can use any email system to send an email to a party who may be using a different email system. So what is needed for interoperability is a common protocol. UPI has its own protocol, email has the SMTP protocol, internet has the HTTPS protocol. Once there is a commonly agreed protocol, then interoperability exists. Telecom networks are interoperable because telecom companies world over have agreed on what is the protocol of interoperability. So now anywhere in the world, from any landline or mobile number, you can make a call to any other mobile or landline number in any country on any other operator in the world. So interoperability requires agreement on protocol. Data privacy has to be handled by the parties which have the data. In the case of the unbundled nature of ONDC, seller applications retain the data that the sellers have. Buyer applications retain the data that the buyer activities related. ONDC does not have access to this detailed information. So we do not know, for example, when a transaction has taken place, who is the buyer who is bought. We do not know what is the specific item that is bought. We do not know what is the value of the item that was bought. So all this information, we do not see or store. We are only aware that a transaction has taken place and in which category of products that transaction has taken place. That's what we know and that's what we track.
Do you think, Shishir, that ONDC's decentralized model, whether it is scalable across India's diverse digital landscapes, why or why not?
That is the belief and that is what we're working towards. In the end, time will tell. 2.5 years ago, before the first transactions took place, there was a lot of skepticism whether unbundled transactions can work at all. Now, 2 years later, 150 million transactions later, we have demonstrated that unbundled transactions really work. And they work across categories, they work across products, across services, and they have helped us get orders from nearly 1,000 cities and towns. So the ability of this approach to reach broadly has been demonstrated. However, India is a vast country. There are many product categories and segments, and it will take time before the population scale reach gets achieved, because unlike payment, which is a relatively simple task, there is an amount and it's all digital. In commercial transaction, there are many additional facets. First of all, products have to be selected. No matter what you buy, there are multiple grades, qualities, brands, sellers. So a buyer has to choose from that and has to have methods by which they can choose and select. Then the product has to be physically shipped, for which there are various costs, timing, etc. Commercial activity or shopping has far more facets and far more nuances that have to be addressed.
Okay, Suresh, do you think ONDC is transforming the competitive dynamics of e-commerce in India? And if so, how is ONDC contributing to the localization of e-commerce, supporting regional and cultural diversity?
Let me talk about first last one that you said, right, which is the cultural diversity. Because of its unbundled nature, it therefore makes the cost of doing business very, very small compared to large platforms. Therefore, we are seeing a lot more parties willing to be available on digital commerce than were in the platform era, because the cost and the commission that they had to bear was very, very difficult. As a result of that, we have artisanal crafts from across the country available. The government has a program called One District, One Product. Many of the ODOP sellers are also on the network. And so on many of our apps, you can look for something called Amazing India. We have tagged these sellers under that common tag. And in that, depending on the application, either by product or by state of the country, you can actually scan and select and buy the product. So that's already been done, demonstrated, and we are expanding that. The other thing you asked was in terms of transformation of commerce. I'll give you one illustration. In the ride-hailing segment, the network applications went to a different model of subscription, not of commission. So in the commission world, any taxi driver or auto rickshaw driver pays a certain percentage of the ride amount to the platform. And also it takes a while for that to be settled, because the rider pays money to the platform, not directly to the driver. And therefore, there's a period of time after which that money gets settled to the driver. Versus that, on our network, two important differences. There wasn't a commission. There was only a daily subscription and a much more affordable subscription, as well as the fact that the rider would pay the driver directly. Therefore, there was no settlement gap in terms of time. The industry has responded now, adopting these practices. So now a lot of the erstwhile platforms that were charging commission have shifted to the subscription model, and many of them are enabling direct payment also. So the innovation that the network is bringing is actually driving the change, which is making the existing industry also adapt to the new practice.
What are the biggest challenges in your 2 years of existence that you have faced in terms of adoption and implementation? And how does ONDC plan to tackle logistical issues such as the last mile delivery and customer service, especially for small businesses?
So we have now almost 20 delivery companies on our network doing both hyperlocal as well as intercity delivery practices, serving 19,000 plus pin codes, so pretty much all parts. But yes, when we start getting into rural and deeper areas, then there are gaps in the last mile. We expect that the nature of the open network will allow even small parties to contribute. There are models that may emerge that will perform differently. Also, the large logistics players tend to have one kind of logistics which they scale up and make very efficient. But India as a country has a variety of types of logistics, right? So as a country, there are many forms of doing delivery at different cost and delivery times. And if we attempt to make standardization, then we will lose some opportunity. But the protocol level approach allows these different varieties to also connect and be part of it.
Thank you, Suresh, for being with us. And here's wishing the very best to Open Network for Digital Commerce for the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on role of Open Network for Digital Commerce in empowering small businesses and revolutionizing e-commerce. The participants were Suresh Joshi, Chief Business Officer, ONDC, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR.